السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين. أبا يوسف، how are you?
الحمد لله بخير.
How are you growing with our stuff?
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. Our class is our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Bukhari Rahimahullah, who has been on the Yateen with the orphans. In the last class we tried to explain in the terms of Sharia who is the Yateen or who are the Aitam, the orphans. What does it mean to say that a person is an orphan? We explained that two major things make a person fall under this category of people that Allah bring it to the orphans. The first of them is Qawtul Ab, or Qawtul Ab, the fact that the father of a young person passes away. When the father of a young person passes away, and that's the second condition, is that he is still not a mature person. When the person is not or cannot be described to have reached maturity. So whoever has his father passing away when he has not reached the stage of bulugh, maturity. And maturity, we know in Islam, is attained for the men when they begin to have dreams, and for women, of course, when a woman begins to menstruate. We all know maturity. So when a person becomes matured, he has left the realms of being an orphan. So when a person has his father pass away, and then the person is still not a mature person, male or female, this kind of a person is referred to in Islam as yatim. Even though for the lower animals, if the animal loses the mother, that is when it's called yatim. When the animal, like a goat or a sheep or a cow, loses its mother while it is still young, it is still breastfeeding, that is when it is referred to as yatim. But amongst humans, being a yatim has to do with the loss of the father, not the loss of the mother. And it has to do with a child that has not matured. It does not have to do with the person who has matured. So two things have to be there: the father's death and the fact that the individual is still a young who has not matured. This is the yatim. We tried to explain it in some sort of detail in the last class. The second thing we tried to explain in the last class is the woman who is an Arbala. The Armala or the Aronis, they are the women who have no husbands. Most times when this word is translated, we translate it to mean a widow. And a widow in English language is a person, a married woman who loses her husband. So she's usually referred to as Armala. Easily that word comes to the mind of a young person when we say Armala or widow. They think that this is a woman who has lost her husband. But Al-Irmad, being in the condition of an Arbala, or the women who are Aronid, this condition itself has to do with not having a husband or any means of support. When a woman becomes a woman who has no husband and she has no means of support, because that is what essentially a man means. Rilama says she becomes Armala because she comes into the condition of what? Al-Irmal. And Al-Irmal is Al-Fakru wa Zahab Zad. Al-Fakru poverty. Need wa Zahab Zad. And the absence of provisions. When a woman does not have these two things, she becomes to be referred to as an Armala. So this word Armala, or its plural, Arami, is not restricted to women who lose their husbands. A woman can be an Armala even when she's not married at all. This is in Arabic grammar. When a woman is not married at all, but she's cut off from support, she can be referred to as an Armala. Or a woman who has been previously married and then she becomes divorced, she has no husband, and her means of support has been cut off. This kind of a woman is also referred to as an Armala. Likewise, the woman who loses her husband to death, death takes the husband away, her means of support becomes cut off. So when she loses her husband, that loss of the husband is also from the aspects of what? Al-Irmal. So being an Armala is not restricted to being a widow who loses her husband. These were the major points that we tried to establish in the last class. This chapter, Al-Imam al-Bukhari says in it, Babu man ya'udu yatiman. The chapter about man ya'udu yatiman. An individual, just one person, anybody, ya'udu yatiman, who takes care of their needs. Ya'ud, he takes care of the needs of the yatim. A person who cares for their needs, he provides him food, he provides him shelter, provides him clothes, provides him compassion. He not just the young boy who is a yatim, or girl who is a yatim, or yatima for a girl. He provides the need, the basic needs for this child. What does the person gain? What is the reward of that kind of an action with Allah in this dunya on the day of Qiyamah? So Imam al-Bukhari has placed this hadith under Fadlu man yarudu yatiman. What are the virtues? What will a person who supports a yatim? In terms of all of what we have explained, what does he gain? What will he be rewarded with in this world and in the hereafter? I hope that this chapter title is clear. And Imam al-Bukhari says, Rahimahullah, Babu Fadli Man Yarudu Yatiman, the chapter regarding the benefits, the rewards of the individual who supports, who provides the needs, who is there for a yatim. A little young boy or girl who loses his father or her father. And that hadith occurs under hadith number 131 in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He said in his that, Haddathana Ismail, Qala haddathani Malikum, Thawri bin Zayd, an Abi Lutayf, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الساعي على الأرملة والمساكين كالمجاهد في سبيل الله وكالذي يصوم النهار ويقوم الليل الساعي على الأرملة والمساكين كالمجاهد في سبيل الله وكالذي يصوم النهار ويقوم الليل الساعي على الأرملة والمساكين Bukhari, rahimahullah, has reported this hadith from this very famous Shaykh, Imam Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. We remember that Imam Ismail ibn Abi Uwais is the son of the sister of Imam Malik. And Imam Malik had a sister. The son of his sister was Ismail ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Uwais. He was a great scholar of Quran and Hadith in Medina, Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, rahimahullah. He is the son of the sister of Imam Malik. And the bulk of his knowledge in terms of Hadith has been reported from Imam Malik. He also has a Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim. In fact, many of the scholars say that if not for Bukhari and Muslim reporting Hadith from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, many of the scholars have criticized Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. They have criticized him regarding that he himself, in terms of retentive memory, he was weak. What he used to write down his hadith. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari, to evade that criticism of his weak memory, sought after the recording, the documents of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, and extracted those ahadiths from the documents of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. The second thing that was mentioned, criticism against Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, was that he was alone in reporting some ahadith. Just alone reported ahadith. No one else has reported ahadith from that particular sheikh except him. So what Al-Imam al-Bukhari did, rahimahullah, was that he will report the ahadith of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais that has been reported by others among the scholars. He was very technical in it. Al-Imam al-Bukhari was very, very technical in the way he reported ahadith from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. He has over 93 or so ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari itself. And the bulk of them, except two, have been reported by other scholars among the reporters of hadith. That Ismail ibn Abi Uwais was not alone. And that was because when Al-Imam al-Bukhari came to Medina, he had access to Ismail ibn Abi Uwais and he collected the documents and selected those ahadith from them. So the reports of Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais raised the status of Al-Imam Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, because these are from the best of the reports of Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, even though others among the scholars like Al-Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in and Al-Imam Nasa'i and others would criticize Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim went beyond those precedents to technically extract the best of the reports from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais. And this hadith we are reading today has also been reported by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam al-Muslim. If you have Al-Adab al-Mufrad with a copy of Maktab al-Huda al-Muhammad, you will see in the footnote it has been said that Akhrajahu al-Bukhari alone. It was mentioned that Akhrajahu al-Bukhari alone. This is not appropriate. This hadith, Akhrajahu al-Bukhari wa Muslim, that was reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim from the same Shaykh. Bukhari reported it, rahimahullah, from his Shaykh Abdullah ibn Maslama ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nab. Likewise, Imam Muslim reported from ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nab. This same hadith that Ismail ibn Abi Uwais has reported from Al-Imam Malik. Ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi also reported it from Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari has gotten this hadith from two sources. One from Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, and the other from who? Abdullah ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi. And Abdullah ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nabi is the best reporter from Al-Imam Malik in terms of this Muwaffa. He was with Al-Imam Malik for 30 years. Because Muwaffa was compiled over a period of 40 years. For 30 of the 40, Ibn Qa'nab was with Malik. And he himself read Muwaffa to Al-Imam Malik directly. So this hadith has been reported from Al-Imam Malik by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Ibn Qa'nab al-Qa'nab. That makes us understand how brilliantly Al-Imam al-Bukhari selected the ahadith of who? Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, despite the criticisms. from the rest of the scholars regarding. I'm sure the, our brothers who get these issues like this, reporters of Hadith, they can pick the book Ismail, that is where it's from, a lot of issues of benefits regarding Ismail in Abu Qays, and the pattern that Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah approached in Ahadith and selected the best of them, rahimahullah. So Ismail ibn Abi Qays has reported this hadith from his sheikh and uncle, Al-Imam Malik, Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah. And Al-Imam Malik reported it from Tawri ibn Zayd, who is reporting from Abu Qays, the Tabi'i of this hadith. Abu Qays, I have not heard your brother having that kunya, Abu Qays. And Al Qays is Al Masr Lati La Yati La Bi Qays. Al Qays, Qays, Qays is rain that will not bring any other than goodness. Because rain can bring Allah's fortune. Rain may fall and then there will still not be plants growing. It may rain and yet plants not grow. But when you have Al-Ghayf, that is Al-Nahr. And Al-Nahr can also bring goodness. It can bring the two too. But when you have Ghayf in Arabic, it does not mean any other than the rain that does not bring any other apart from what? Goodness. So this Tabi'i, his kunya is Abu-Ghayf. Abu Qays, but his real name was Salim Mawla Abdullah ibn Musayf. His name was Salim Mawla Abdullah ibn Musayf from Ta'a. Musayf is the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's after his father's name, it's Abdullah ibn Musayf. The name of his master who freed him, who his name, he himself was named Salim. But he is the Mawla of Abdullah ibn Musayf. This is Musayf. One of our brothers bears this name, Musayf. So many of the people refer to him as Musayf, with Noon at the end. It is with Ayn at the end. It is Musayf from Ta'a. Musayf is the one who gives obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can have Matin, that is the one who is strong, and Allah is Al-Matin. So you can have Abdul Matin, this is separate. You can also have Muti'u. So this is Muti'u and not Muti'nu, as some people refer to that brother. So the brother is Muti'u, not Muti'nu, as people refer to him. So he is Muti'u. So the person in this hadith is Salim Mawla Abdullah ibn Muti'u. He is the one who has reported this hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, As-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-masakin. As-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-masakin. Fal-mujahid fi sabilillah. As-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-masakin. As-sa'i, the one who makes as-sa'i, he hastens towards the affairs. As-sa'i ala al-armala. He makes good efforts. Haste over al-armala. The armala, we have defined who they are. They are, she is the woman who lacks financial support because she has not a husband. The woman who lacks support. Why? She does not have a husband. She falls under the arms. And one of them is referred to as what? Armala. So as-sa'i ala al-armala. Even though the word is more widely used for widows. So here the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sa'i ala al-armala. The one who goes forth and backwards. لِتَحْصِيلِ مَا يَنْفَعُ الْأَرْمَلَ. So that she can, he can gain something to benefit the armala. He goes forth and backwards. He moves forth, making good efforts, going forth, gathering resources, putting things together. What do you want to do with these resources you are running about together? He wants to benefit the armala, or she wants to benefit the armala, who is a woman that has been cut off from support because she has no husband. Meaning that we all must take this very important. No man should live with his wife and make her live like an Armala. The man is the source of the support for her, for his wife. No man, what's the name, a Muslim, should, for the sake of Allah, leave his wife without support. When you leave your wife without support, you are supposed to be the support for your wife. When you leave her without support, you are putting her in the circumstance of al-ihmal, like a woman without a husband. And this is not proper at all for a Muslim babe to do, to abandon the wife so much that she is cut off from support. It's an act of sin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about that, that kafa lil mar'i ithman an yatruka man ya'uluhu aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. It is sufficient for an individual as sin. It is sufficient sin against an individual. Why? He abandons the one that he supports. The wife, he should give the wife support and then he abandons her. It is from the symbols of fisk and fujur. It is from the symbols of unrighteousness that a man abandons the wife, because he is going to get that wife into the circumstance of what? Al-Irmal. She's going to have to become an Arbala that the people now begin to run around to support. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-masaki. The one who makes sa'i, who makes haste, who makes efforts to gather resources, put things together, ala al-armala, over the woman who is cut off from support, wal-masaki, and orphans. These two words, al-masakin, al-ladhi laysa lahu shay, al-masakin, al-miskin, is the one who has nothing. So the ulama have brought this report here because no one best comes in this condition except the woman who has lost a husband and children who have lost their parents. They come into the circumstance of masaki, and usually the woman who is widowed is usually having children to take care of. So the armala is hardly. Would you find an armala when you remove women without husbands who are not married at all, except that she has a child she has to care for? So she supposed to be supported. Now she has someone that needs support. So the support is required from two angles: from the fact that she's a woman, from the fact also that she has a child. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever supports these kinds of women, and whoever supports these kinds of children, people in need, children in need. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kal mujahidi fi sabilillah. Such a person is like the one who goes in jihad for the sake of Allah. Not just going in jihad. That jihad is a valid jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like him. Ulama have explained, how is he like him? The one who goes on searching for things to gather resources, put things together, and then he comes back to support women without husbands and support orphans whose parents, whose fathers are lost, and means of support are unavailable. How does that become like al-mujahid? They say from two angles. The first one in terms of rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored this person, whether male or female, that the reward that I will give you when you support these people and you go all around gathering resources to help them, what I will reward you with is that I will give you a reward that is like the reward of Mujahidun fi sabilillah. So it's like him in terms of rewards, because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith, kal Mujahidun fi sabilillah. Yani fil ajr. In terms of reward, it's like him. How do we know? The Prophet said so, alayhi salatu wasalam. The other sense in which this person is like Mujahid fi sabilillah is that he's making haste, he's hustling to gather resources for these people. He's going all around, putting things together. Like the Mujahid goes all around also to prepare for jihad. And then he comes in terms of spending his own soul, giving out the soul, just like the individual now gives out the money that he has suffered for. He goes to the office early in the morning, he comes back 5 o'clock in the evening, he's making sure he earns from halal means so that he can support an armala, so that he can support a yatim or a yatima. This is effort too, making effort to establish goodness upon the surface of the earth. And then the money he's going to give is belonging to him. Arabs have an adage. They say that al-mal shaqiqu ruh, al-mal, money, shaqiqu ruh, is the brother of life. That is, the way we value our lives, people value their wealth. But in this case, you are going to give your wealth out. Just like the Mujahid gives out his life during jihad. So from these angles, from the angles of reward, from the angles of effort, from the angles of giving out something that we hold very dearly, the person who goes out to support the armala and the miskin is like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kal mujahid fi sabilillah. The Prophet said, in terms of his reward, alayhi salatu salam, in terms of the effort, in terms of all other things that the mujahid gives out, which is very, very important to him, that kind of an individual is like the mujahid fi sabilillah. He has the reward life, the reward of mujahid fi sabilillah. He said again, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa kallabi yasumun nahar. It's like a person who goes on fasting in the daytime. All he does is fast. The one who regularly fasts. And the report of Al-Imam Muslim in this hadith, it says, كَالصَّائِمِ لَا يُفْطِرُ هُوَ كَالصَّائِمُ الَّذِي لَا يُفْطِرُ. The one who spends, who makes efforts over Al-Armala, Al-Yatim, and the Fakir, كَالصَّائِمُ الَّذِي لَا يُفْطِرُ, is the one who is regularly fasting. He won't break his fast at any time. His fasting so without, one day on, one day off, and he will not stop. I know a brother like that. He's been on so without for 20 years. One day on, one day off. One day on, one day off. He's been on so without for 20 years. One day on, one day off. So the one who struggles, strives, makes great efforts to earn halal, gather halal, and spend upon the aramil and the yatama, this kind of a person has the rewards of mujahidun fi sabilillah. He also has the reward of as-sa'imu alladhi la yuftiru. He has the reward of a person who fasts regularly and will not break his fast. Wa yaqumu al-layl, and he also stands in the midnight. The report of Al-Imam Muslim says, كَالْقَائِمُ لَا يُفْتِرُ لَا كَالْقَائِمُ لَا يَفْتُرُ لَا. He does not have futur. It's like someone who stands up in the middle of the night and he does not get tired. لَا يَفْتُرُ, he does not get tired. كَالْقَائِمِ لَا يَفْتُرُ وَالصَّائِمِ لَا يُفْتِرُ. He is like someone who stands up in the middle of the night. He does not get tired. Whenever you wake up, you find him, he's in the middle of the night observing salah. Al-Qa'imu la yaftur, the one who prays in the night, qiyamul layl, la yaftur, he does not become exhausted as a result. Wa kal-qasa'imi la yaftir, is also like as-sa'imu la yaftir, the one who is fasting and he will not break his fast. If he fasts Mondays and Thursdays, he goes on fasting Mondays, Thursdays, Mondays, Thursdays. He's regular in his fasting of the tawwu'at and of course of his wajibat. He does not break the fast. The reward of a person who takes care of the armala and the yatim and masakin is like the person who fights jihad. It's like the person who observes fasting throughout the days. He does not break his fast. It's like the person who observes Qiyamul Layl in the night and he does not stop observing Qiyamul Layl. So you see three kinds of rewards. He has the reward of Mujahidun. He has the reward of Qa'imun. He has the reward of Sa'imun, the one who takes care of the Aramid, the one who takes care of Al-Yatama, the one who takes care of Masaki. He has the rewards of three groups of people, all in one. He has the rewards of Mujahideen. He has Ajrul Mujahideen. He has Ajrul Sa'imin. Al-Ladina La Yuftirun. He has the rewards of Qa'imin. Al-Ladina La Yafturun. He has the rewards of these three groups of people. One of the ulama, Al-Imam Ibn Battal Al-Maghribi, Rahimahullah, he gave an explanation that I think deserves that we read it and make benefit from it regarding this hadith. He says, Rahimahullah, Man ajaza lil jihad fi sabilillah. Whoever finds jihad difficult, he becomes unable to make jihad fi sabilillah. Wan qiyamil layl. He finds it difficult to observe qiyamil layl. Some people definitely find it difficult to observe qiyamil layl for so many reasons. Perhaps their jobs during the day are very hard jobs, that they hardly find it difficult to be able to wake up in the night. Or their jobs are jobs that take them into late night, such that when they sleep, they can't even observe qiyamul layl at all. It is possible to find people in these kinds of conditions. So when a person is in this kind of condition, or ajaza lil jihad, or the individual is unable to perform jihad, maybe he's blind, maybe he's a lame, maybe he has other deficiencies that would not make him able to go for jihad. Maybe the individual has ulcer, for example, so that he's not able to fast regularly. Or he may have other illnesses, so he's not able to go for jihad. He's not able to stand regularly in qiyamul layl. He's not also able to fast during the days and be regular in his fasting. The Sheikh says, Man ajaza anil jihad fi sabilillah wa an qiyam al-layl wa siyam an-nahar falyamal bihadha al-hadith. Let that individual work with this hadith. How? Gather resources for aramid, gather resources for aitam, gather resources for masakin, work with needy people and provide them resources. Act upon this hadith. He said, Rahimahullah, وَلْيَسْعَى لَلْأَرَامِلْ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Let him make good efforts to take care of الْأَرَامِلْ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ لِيُحْشَرَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي جُمْلَةِ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So that he is raised on the day of Qiyamah amongst the generality of those who were fighting and who perhaps passed away upon the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. دُونَ أَنْ يَخْتُوا مِنْ ذَلِكَ خُطْوَةً. Even though he might not have even made a single step to make jihad, or he may not even have spent one single dirham to make jihad fi sabilillah, or he is not even face an enemy that he would be afraid that this enemy can kill him. He didn't do any of that, yet he would be raised fi jumlatil mujahideen fi sabilillah duna an yakhtuwa fi dhalika khutwatan أو ينفق درهما أو يلقى عدوا يرتع بلقائه أو ليحشر في زمرة الصائح. If he also wants the reward of being gathered in the company of those who are regularly fasting, let him do that. والقائم likewise in the gathering of those who are regularly observing قيام الليل وينال درجته, so that he can gain their status on the day of Qiyamah. وَهُوَ طَائِمُ نَهَارِهِ. When he was eating during the days, نَائِمُ لَيْلِهِ أَيَّامَ حَيَاتِهِ. While he was even sleeping in the night when he was alive. But on the day of Qiyamah, he becomes gathered in the garden of his people. فَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ أَنْ يَحْرِصُ عَلَى هَذِهِ التِّجَارَةِ الَّتِي لَا تَبُورُ. So it is necessary for every Muslim to crave to participate in this business in which there is no loss. وَيَسْعَى عَلَى الْأَرْمَلَى. Make good efforts to take care of aramil, women without husbands who are cut off from support, and then they become needy they become in the status of people who need the help, our miskin, or people who are just poor, they are the needy. When you do support them, you help them, you gather resources, put it together for them, to care for them, Allah provides you the rewards of three groups of people. Mujahidun fi sabilillah, al-qa'imuna yusalluna la yaftirun, was-sa'imuna yasumuna la yaftirun. When you do that for the sake of Allah, that is the reward you get. That trade that Allah and the Messenger invites us up to, you gain from it. What do you gain? The levels and the status of those who fight in the cause of Allah, those who fast regularly, and those who regularly observe Qiyam al-Layl, even though you will not have been tired or exhausted, wala nasabin, or neither would you have been stressed at all. You gain these rewards. How do you gain the rewards of Mujahidun? How do you gain the rewards of Qa'imun? How do you gain the rewards of Sa'imun? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-fasaki, the one who makes efforts upon the orphans and women, the women who are cut off from support, and the needy, that individual is like the one in his rewards who fights in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is like the one who regularly fasts during the day, and observes his Qiyam al-Layl in the night. This is the reward of those who pay attention to and crave to support the Aramid. And by that, they would have been following many verses in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah told us about the hypocrisy, because it is from the ways of the people who deny and reject the fact that Allah shall reward them tremendously on the day of Qiyamah. It is from their way not to care for Aramil and Al-Yatama. Those who are used to not caring for the Aramil, women who are cut off from support, they have a strong mind against them. They hate them. They detest them. This is from the symbols of kufur and from the symbols of rejecting, from the symbols of rejecting the truth of the day of Qiyamah. From the truth of the day of Jaza is that these people will be rewarded easily. So for those who reject, who don't care about them, who don't pay any attention to them, this is from the ways of the people of Kufur, and it is not correct. We are not saying that not paying attention to these people is Kufur that expels the individual from Islam. But non-Muslims, Kufar, have this kind of attitude. They are the ones who have these kinds of attitude of not paying attention to Aramid and Al-Yatama. How do we know that? The Quran tells us that in Surah Al-Ma'un. It says, Ara'ayta alladhi yukazzibu bid-deen. Have you seen those? Do you not see those? Yukazzibu bid-deen. Who belie deen, jaza. They belie the fact that Allah grants rewards for goodness. Say, what reward? If I do it, I just do it. There are people like that. If I do it, I just do it. No, if I do it, I'll be rewarded. This is the thinking of the Muslim. Not if I do it, I've just done it. No. If you do it, you'll be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is jaza. So you can see who be deen. Those people belie that jaza. They belie the fact that there is a day of Yawmul Deen, the day of Jaza. And Allah refers to Yawmul Qiyamah a lot in the Quran, even in Surah Al-Fatiha, Yawmul Deen, the Maliki Yawmul Deen. Maliki Yawmul Deen. And Yawmul Deen is Yawmul Qiyamah. So it says, Ara'ayta alladhi yukazzibu bi Yawmul Deen. Ara'ayta alladhi yukazzibu bi Deen. Do you not see the one who rejects Deen? Who rejects that there is jaza on the day of Qiyamah? Ara'ayta alladhi yukazzibu bid-deen. Who is that person? Fadhalika alladhi. That is that one. That person. That individual. Look at how the Quran describes him like someone who is far away. Because he's far away from Zadika. That one, that person. What does he do? Yeah, don't really achieve. He pushes away. He sends away your team. Give me out. Wait. Get out. Where are we? Move away. Don't call me again. Don't touch me. You're doing earlier team. That's why even the Messenger alayhi salatu salam in Surah Al-Duha. What did Allah say? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَفْحَمْ. As for the yatim, لَا تَفْحَمْ. Don't be stern against your team. Don't be stern against your team. Don't be stern against your team. May Allah protect all of us. So the reward for being good to the Aaronic that any person does get, just anybody, you don't know him before, you don't know the yatim. You don't know the Armala. Not to say the ones that you know. We are coming back to that. You don't know the man. But this is your team. You may put efforts to care for them. How about those your team or those the Atama or Aitam that are from the children of your brothers in blood, from the children of your sisters, from the children of your uncles. Those uncles have passed away. Your brother passed away. Your uncle passed away, or your daddy passed away. You had become matured. He left Aramin with you, your mothers. And he left Aitam with you, your younger ones who are past smaller. Is it appropriate for you as an individual to abandon them? May Allah protect all of us. If we all go back to our family sectors, we will see where we have failed or where we have succeeded. Your brother's son, that boy was a little young boy when the father died. What was your role? Your sister's son, the husband passed away. What was your role to be sure that that boy, that yatim, or that girl, yatima, got the kind of support that she needed? What was your role? We all should go back to the families at home and see what roles that we have played. And Imam al-Bukhari has listed hadith. The virtue, the rewards of the one who pays attention to a yatim. What rewards will he get? May Allah forgive all of us. But like we say regularly in these classes, we all should make good efforts to ease the last to see that we rectify ourselves. And I take this to salute those of our brothers who already and sisters who already busy with things like this. They pay attention to women who are cut off from support. They pay attention to children who are cut off from support. They pay attention to women whose husbands have passed away or whose husbands have abandoned them and run away. In all of this, the women became people who fell under al-irmad. They fell under al-fakru wa faqduzad. They fell under need and poverty. May Allah reward all these brothers with goodness in this world and in the hereafter. We quickly read one more hadith before the time becomes the time we have to stop the class. And Imam al-Bukhari goes in the next part. He said, Babu Fadli Man Ya'ud Yatiman Lahu. Babu Fadli Man Ya'ud Yatiman Lahu. The chapter regarding the one who supports his own yatim. The first one is about one man supports one yatim or one armala. Just anyone. You don't know that person. This time, I think this chapter heading is for women. Because this is chapter regarding man ya'ud yatim Allah. A woman who struggles to take care of her own yatim. A woman who struggles to take care of her own yatim or her own yatima, or a man who struggles to take care of the children of his brother or his uncle, the ones that are your relatives. What are the rewards for it? The other one, the first chapter we just discussed, you don't know the yatim. You are just helping the yatim. You are just helping an armala. But here, the yatim is your own. Why is it ascribed to you? Because you are connected by blood. So this also has to do with women. The woman can say, what will I gain if her husband passes away? And then she has to support the children to grow, to get education, to get compassion, to feed, to get shelter, to clothe, and to be well nurtured in life like the rest of the children. What will my reward be? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said something regarding these kinds of women. And Imam al-Bukhari has placed it under the chapter, Fadlu man ya'udu yateeman lahu. The virtue, the reward of the person who cares for his own or her own yateen. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Rahimahullah, حدثنا أبو اليمان قال أخبرنا شهيب قال أخبرنا شعيب عن الزهري قال حدثني عبد الله ابن أبي بكر عن عروة بن زبير أن عروة بن زبير أخبره أن عائشة زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قالت جاءتني امرأة معها ابنتان لها فسألتني فلم تجد عندي إلا تمرة واحدة فأعطيتها فقسمتها بين ابنتيها ثم قامت فخرجت فدخل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فحدثته فقال من يلي من هذه البنات شيئا فأحسن إليهن كنا له سترا من النار كنا له سترا من النار من يلي من هذه البنات شيئا فأحسن إليهن كنا له سترا من النار. عروة بن زبير رضي الله عنه ورحمه الله is one of the tabi'i of this hadith. This hadith has three amongst the tabi'u. The first tabi'i of the hadith is Al-Imam al-Zuhri, Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab. Al-Zuhri is the tabi'i reporting this hadith from another tabi'i, Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr. Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr ibn Muhammad ibn Amr ibn Hazm al-Ansari was the tabi'i. He is also reporting from Urwa ibn Zubayr, who is also a tabi'i. So this hadith has three amongst the tabi'un in the Islam. One of them reporting from the other. So you can have a hadith like that. I think some of the scholars have mentioned that you can find up to four, between four and six. I hope that I have remembered properly. Four to six tabi'i in one single isnad of a hadith. This one has three amongst the tabi'u. So we have Al-Imam al-Zuhri reporting from a tabi'i, Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr reporting from another tabi'i, Urwa ibn Zubayr. Radiallahu anhu. Akhbarahu, Urwa ibn Zubayr, he told you, Imam al-Zuhri has that is not going to Urwa ibn Zubayr, who said that Anna Aisha radiallahu anha, Zawjat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ja'atni imra'atun ma'aha ibnatani laha. A woman who had two children of hers came to me. A woman carried two children. And she came to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Fasa'alatni falam tajid indi illa tamratan wahida. The woman came to ask of me. She was asking something, I should provide her something. Falam tajid indi. But that woman did not find me having anything. Illa tamratan wahida. Aisha radiallahu anha. On the day this woman came to ask, came to beg something from Aisha, Aisha, our mother, did not have anything except the single date. Allahu Akbar. Just one date. That's all she had. I didn't have anything. I don't have. How many of us have bags of rice in our homes? And one armala or yatim would come and ask, you have bags of rice, you can't even provide a cup from it. But here is your mother, radiallahu anha. She only had a single date with her. Many of us, we have bags of rice. We have two bags of yam. We have baskets of tomatoes. We have cartons of fish. We have all these things in our home, and we can't provide just a part of it. Here was Aisha radiallahu anha. All that she had on that day when the woman came to beg for a need, she had for her two daughters, she does not have, or she did not have any other than Samratan Wahidata. If she had said Samratan, it could have been sufficient, a date. But she emphasized it was just single one. Aisha radiallahu anha only had a single date. So she gave it to the woman. She said, fa'a'tayt to her. She had only a single date and she gave it out. You have baskets of tomato, you will not give anything out. You have baskets of dates, you will not give anything out. You have bread, you have butter, you have fish, you have rice, you have soup, you have meat, you have fish, you have chicken, you have flour, you have wheat, you have elubor, you have gari, you have akuk, you have everything in your freezer. And yet you can't give anything out. May Allah forgive you. But for Aisha radiallahu anha, a'atotha, she gave out that gift to that woman. فَقَسَمَتْهَا بَيْنَ إِذْنَتَيْهَا, and the woman divided that single date between the two of the daughters that she was carrying. ثُمَّ قَامَتْ فَخَرَجَتْ, the woman then stood up. She did not take anything from it. Al-Imam al-Bukhari had told us on the hadith number 89, that al-walidatu rahimat, the mothers are the most compassionate amongst the people. She was also in need. This is an armala in need. The armala in need, she had two daughters. The two daughters are her own. She got something. She had not tasted of it and she provided them to the two of her daughters. Why? Al-walidat rahimat. Al-walidat rahimat. The mothers are the most compassionate of the people in her life. Mothers are very, very compassionate. She got one day, she shared it amongst the two of the children. Radiallahu anha, she's better than all the women in the world today because she was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha then said, ثُمَّ قَامَتْ فَخَرَجَتْ, that woman, after dividing that single date amongst the two children, the two daughters, she stood up and went out. فَدَخَلَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَحَدَّثْتُهُ, the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام then came in afterwards. فَحَدَّثْتُهُ, and I narrated the matter to him. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ, then the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, من يلي من هذه البنات شيئا, من يلي, whoever takes over the affairs of anything from the affairs of these girls. This makes us understand that you may not need to take care of everything if you cannot afford to take care of everything. Our mother Aisha was just able to give Rasulullah and her a single date. So if you're only able to provide one single naira, that's all you have, please provide it. Because the Prophet said here, alayhi salam, whoever takes charge, min hadihil banati shay'a, regarding these daughters, whoever takes care of anything regarding these girls, fa ahsana ilayhina waliya min hadihil banati shay'a, or takes over any one of these girls, whoever takes over, takes control, takes charge of any one of these girls, فَأَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهِنَّ, and then show them kindness and goodness, كُنَّ لَهُ سِتْرًا مِنَ النَّارِ, they will be her own hijab, her own sitter, her own covering, her own protection, the reason why she will not enter the Jahannam. So one of the means of avoiding Jahannam is, you just look for one orphan to care for. Care for him or care for her, and then Allah will protect you from the fire of Jahannam. Care for the orphan, him or her, and then Allah will protect you from Jahannam. I think we can stop here so that we can take a few questions in the next 5 minutes. Bismillah, Abba Yusuf, I hope that this hadith is clear.
Jazakum Allah khairan ya shaykhana.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakum Allah
khairan.
Ameen, ameen wa iyaakum.
Now, the first question which means say, if the widow is one's mother or a close relative, does it fall under this hadith?
Yes. If it's your relative, then that more so if you are from the relatives of the father of that orphan. If you are from the relatives of the father of the husband, it reaches you more than the relatives of the mother. So, but if those people are not available, then the relatives of the mother, the orphan can be ascribed to them. Do you understand?
No.
In that sense, that is also the baby, the child of also related to them by blood of a sort. But those who actually have ascription are the men, the fathers, the relatives of the father of that orphan. But in this case, the orphan was ascribed to the mother. Why? Because she's the one whose husband passed away. She's the mother of the children, of the two daughters in this hadith of Aisha. May Allah protect our widows, our aramil, the women who are disconnected from support. We mentioned at the beginning of this class that the aramala is not restricted to the widow. It is for every woman who is disconnected from support, from the husband. She has no husband. She's either a divorcee or she has not married. So she's disconnected from support. That makes us also an orphan. And has not abandoned the woman. It has rather encouraged everybody to support the woman. The woman is the king of support in Islam, something that you must, an individual that we all must support. The woman must not be left alone in Islam, whether as a sister, as a daughter, or as a wife, or as a mother. We must be supporting them. Men must be supporting women in every circumstance. The men must be going out to give support to their women. Allah has not abandoned the women to society. He has given these women and ascribed them either as your daughters, or as your wife, or as your mother, or your sister. If you are a man, you have any one of these four around you as a man, you should understand that you have a huge responsibility. You should not see your support for them as a privilege. It is a right that they have over you, and regarding which Allah will ask you about. The women must be supported. This is the main message here. How about a man who now have a wife and abandon the wife? How many men do that? They become irresponsible. Some men even depend on the salaries of their wives. This is not appropriate. Go out and look for something to provide for your wife. Don't become a man who depends on a woman. May Allah protect us from that evil. It's not appropriate for a man to become dependent on a person who should be dependent on him ordinarily. It is not appropriate at all. Allah protect us. Our brothers who, for one reason or the other, have become people who, for one reason or one genuine reason or the other, have had to, perhaps because of job loss or illness or the like of it, they have had to depend on a kind of a woman one way or the other. May Allah remove them and provide a means of sustenance for them such that they will not have to depend on a woman. It's a very big trial for a man to become dependent on a woman. Allah understand. Allah salam. Naam, Abba Yusuf.
Does this support for unmarried women and orphans include non-Muslims?
Well, the statements, the hadith are general. And the hadith we read in hadith number 130, when Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Al-Ihsanu ila al-barri wal-fajr, being kind and good is not restricted to the righteous. It is more salah, as Muhammad ibn Al-Hanafiya told us. فَهِيَ مُسَجَّلَةٌ لِلْبَرِّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. It is general, لِلْبَرِّ, for people who are righteous, والفاجر, and people who are unrighteous. Even animals, lower animals, we should show them compassion. So if the armala or the yatim is a non-Muslim related to you, show them compassion to help them. but don't now. You have opportunity to help Muslim Arami and Yatama. You go to homes belonging to non-Muslims to go and give donations. Go and give those donations to Muslims. They have a greater right over you than non-Muslims. But if you give a non-Muslim, you also have your rewards to give a preference to the Muslim. Otherwise, you're giving the non-Muslim the handicap, the Muslim, to try to look for a Muslim. Your Muslim brother has the right of Islam over you. Allahu a'lam. Now.
Please, is the one who set up the Widow and Orphan Foundation or Food Bank also amongst those that will enjoy the reward mentioned in the hadith?
Wallahi, it appears so to me.
Now, Jazakumullah khairan.
Ameen wa antum.
Could someone born out of wedlock that but lost their father be considered as yatima?
Well, al-ab, ab. Yes, it can come under that. Even though the ascription is to the family of the father. But the fact is that the ab is known, especially when there is no argument about who is the father. If it is a clear cut, well known, this man gave birth to this child, and that man passes away, it is still the ab of the child, even though that child was born out of wedlock, and in terms of ascription, it will be ascribed to the mother. But the fact still remains that the ab is the ab when there is no disagreement about the father of the girl or boy. So when that person, the father, now passes away, that child also falls amongst the yatama. Yes.
Would someone who married a widow and take care of her children and take care of her and the children have such a reward mentioned in the hadith?
Yes. Yes. They will have the reward in the two hadiths. In the first hadith, they will have the reward of Mujahidun. They have the reward of those who fast and pray regularly. The second hadith, they will have the reward of the one who will be protected from the fire. It's a very big job. I wish that young boys who have not married can do that. But the rewards, more so when they are matured-minded people who can control the woman and help manage the children, because it's a very, very big job. Controlling a woman who had been previously married and nurturing children is not a child's play. So if we have a young brother who has not married at all, but who is very, very brilliant and intelligent in his ability to manage the affairs of people, then you are encouraged to marry such women. And some of our brothers who are marrying one, two, adding wives, they could do that too. That does not now mean that if I want to marry a second wife, a woman, my first wife now begins to abuse me that I must marry Armala. No woman should say that to her husband, because every man has a right to marry whom he wills. If the man chooses to marry a young virgin girl, yes, he has that right. If the man chooses to marry an Armala for the purpose of that, he has his reward. That is his own issue. No woman should now come back and start saying that, oh, you are not sincere, because you are supposed to marry an Armala and take over a Yeti. No woman should employ this kind of an expression regarding her husband. Allahu
Akbar. نعم يا شيخنا أحسن الله
إليكم
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاكم الله خيرا
آمين وعليكم